It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Untold Story podcast. I'm Martha McCallum. This is the podcast where we like to dig into some of the stories that we don't get enough time to really get into deep detail on. And one of the things, obviously, that we're all looking at with some consternation and concern are these new cases of bird flu in the United States. So we got in touch with Dr. Mark Siegel, our friend, and asked him to join us today and talk about this a little bit. As you know, he wrote extensively about COVID and reported extensively on COVID, but he also wrote a piece back in 2006, I believe, Bird Flu, Everything You Need to Know About the Next Pandemic. So obviously, Dr. Siegel, you are a great person to speak with about this. Welcome.
Great to be with you, Martha, always.
So tell me a little bit about bird flu and about what we're seeing right now in terms of this person who contracted it after, you know, some sort of exposure to a cow who had it. Fill us in. What do we need to know here, doctor?
You know, I've been looking at bird flu since 2006, as you mentioned. I wrote a book about it. I interviewed David Swain, who was the top avian flu researcher for the USDA, because he studied it in birds. And he said, look, we're several mutations away from where it could go easily human to human, even at a time when it was killing millions of birds. It kills poultry. It kills chickens and turkeys because they don't have great immune systems. And so he's been tracking it for USDA for many years. Then in 2012, another event occurred of great significance, Martha, which is someone named Ron Fauci in the Netherlands found the exact 4 mutations it would take for this to go easily human to human. The 4 mutations it would take. So today, we suddenly start seeing it in cattle, and it's being found in 5 states. So I talked to CDC Director Mandy Cohen about this, and she reassured me on several points that makes me less worried. Number one, there's no additional mutation. It's the same exact virus that we've been seeing for 2 decades now in birds. Number two, the cattle aren't getting that sick. They're not dying. Why would that be? Well, because they have better immune systems than the poultry I just mentioned. Three, they've been tracking cases, CDC working hand in hand with USDA, tracking cases to see which humans are infected. They have found one so far, and get this, they gave Tamiflu to that one individual and Tamiflu to everyone around that individual. If you recall, we did that with swine flu in 2009, and so far, so good. Mild symptoms. That one guy has some red eyes, some sniffly symptoms, but he's gotten better. The cattle have gotten better. So what's the take home here? I think it's something we monitor, but we don't get alarmed at. The only change is that now it's in a mammalian species, which I don't like to see, but it's not likely to change enough to go human to human.
Yeah, so that obviously is the question that we all think about when you think about COVID and the origins, which is all, you know, a whole other story, but it's that leap from animals to humans, and then obviously the much more concerning leap, which is humans to humans after that kind of contraction. So, you know, explain to us a little bit about the scary scenario with regard to bird flu. And you talked about mutations. What is it that you want to watch out for here in terms of the development of any mutation?
By the way, I'll answer that by saying, first of all, it's one of the first times I actually see the purpose of gain-of-function research. As you know, myself and the show's friend, Robert Redfield, against gain-of-function mutation, gain-of-function research, and Redfield, as CDC director, shut down Fort Dix because of H5N1. What is gain-of-function research? It means manipulating the virus to see exactly how many mutations it would take for it to go human to human. That's the key here, is that they look at the virus already under the microscope and they haven't seen any of the four changes. Why do I say that that's an example of gain of function having some value? Well, if we didn't know how many changes were needed, we wouldn't know how to follow it at all. So, you know, they're following flu in wastewater, but they don't know if it's H5N1. They're tracking the cattle. By the way, Martha, how come five states? Here's something I didn't know. I'm not even sure you know this, but you know a lot more than me, but I didn't know that cattle travel state to state. So it may not be that it's spreading state to state. It may be that the herds are going state to state. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, I don't know anything about the movement of cattle from state to state as a girl who grew up in New York and New Jersey primarily. So are they being transported from one place to another, or this is, you know, movement of herd that happened to be crossing state lines due to large property that they're roaming?
I think it's the former. I think that they're deliberately maneuvering them state to state, probably because of, you know, whatever the intentions are with the cattle, you know, to use them for food or wherever they're doing it. This has to do with large companies. So it's important to distinguish this, because remember, we're seeing states as far away from Michigan and Idaho, you know, in Texas. It sounds like the thing is spreading all across the country. It's not the case. But the other thing is that you want to know how these cattle get it, and they're getting it from birds. So the poultry and the cattle are in the same place. So it isn't like they don't even know whether it's spreading cattle to cattle yet, let alone mm-hmm. human to human. It is not spreading human to human. We know it spreads bird to bird, and it's spreading from bird to cattle.
And how does it do that? What is the transmission from the bird to the cattle?
It can be anything from close touch to any kind of secretion, you know, from saliva, from feces, from urine, any kind of close contact with a secretion from an infected person, from an infected animal. And again, with poultry, they don't have much immune systems. They get very sick. You know, avian influenza in general is harbored in ducks. I'm going to show you how much I know, Martha. It's harbored in ducks, but they don't get sick. Wild fowl harbor H5N1 but don't get sick, so they can spread it very easily. When it gets into a poultry population, they all die.
The Untold Story continues right after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
And how did it likely get from this cow to the human?
I'm sure, and the CDC told me today, that it's because this human was in close contact with an infected cow, and it led them to do surveillance. They're literally tracking these cows. CDC is tracking these cows and seeing which ones are infected, and then they're monitoring any human that came in contact with a cow, and they found one. They found one who got sick, but it was a mild illness. They gave the person Tamiflu, which is actually a treatment for all flu, and he got better in a couple of days.
Well, that sounds like a good scenario. It sounds like the best scenario, given some of the headlines that we've been seeing. You know, Mark, when you look across the country, and, you know, you're always watching sort of as these things crop up, and there's all sorts of viruses around, you know, what are you most concerned about as you look at the medical landscape right now in the country?
Believe it or not, I'm most concerned about fear. I'm most concerned about, especially coming out of a pandemic, here comes the next one. Mm-hmm. And that's what you do really well, which is not to fan the flames of fear. I always say that fear is more contagious than any virus. So what we're doing today is we're showing how hard it is to actually get this in its current form, which should decrease fear. You know, it's normal for people to be afraid, especially after what we just went through. And it's one of the best tools against both the virus and fear is surveillance. So I have no problem with USDA and CDC getting together here and actually trying to figure out the scope of this and what the risk actually is.
Well, let me ask you one more thing before I let you go then, because, you know, as I travel around the country, I'm struck by how many people I see wearing masks. It seems like there are a lot of people who like wearing masks and continue to wear them. And I have no idea what their personal circumstances are. Maybe they have a family member who's very ill at home, and maybe they want to be extra careful. But post-COVID, you just hear people talk a lot about germs and about their fears, as you point out. Is it legitimate that so many people still wear masks, Mark?
Well, yes and no. It's not legitimate if you're treating fear It's not legitimate if it's some kind of global fear still about COVID. But I still will wear a mask in an examination room, not because of COVID, but because I found that it cuts down my risk of getting colds or getting any respiratory viruses. I feel the same way about a plane until it's in the air because the filtration isn't working. So you could pick your spots and decide to wear a mask in very close quarters if you feel you're at risk of getting sick. And you just said one of the biggest reasons of all, if you're immunocompromised or if you have some reason that to think that your risk would be greater. Overall, I have no problem with it. As a mandate or as some kind of policy, I think what happened was it was so overdone for limited value that it caused a huge kickback of rebellion that we definitely didn't need in the public health world.
Mark, thank you very much. Good to get a quick update from you on this, and thank you for doing the research for us, and we always appreciate you popping by. Dr. Mark Siegel, many thanks.
Great to be with you, Martha. Thank you.
You as well. And that's the Untold Story for today. I'm Martha McCallum. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to The Untold Story with Martha McCallum. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Make sure to rate and review. For more podcasts, go to foxnewspodcast.com. Listen ad-free with the Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.